And we're going to have our Bible reading for this morning. Rupert's going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Verses 7 to 18. It's on page 1185 of the Church Bibles. Tarchaeus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sent you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sent greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. And for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sent greetings. Now give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of God. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Rupert. I mean, it would be very easy, I think, to look at this passage and it's just a bunch of names, isn't it, really? Or is it? Suppose when you think of any kind of form of communication, what goes at the beginning and what comes at the end is really where we put most of our energy. You know, we want to grab people's attention, don't we? And we don't want them to forget. So we want to begin well and we want to end well. And perhaps we can almost think of this passage a bit like a finale at a concert. You know, it's that's what it is, really. Lots of names, yes, but important lessons that Paul doesn't want us to miss or forget. So we're going to look at this passage under three headings. So we have Paul's messengers, Tychicus and Onesimus. Then Paul refers to his co-workers, those who work alongside him, Aristarchus, Mark, Justus, and Epaphras, and then Paul's final charge to primarily Archippus. So that's where we're going. We're going to look at this passage under these three headings. So let's think, first of all, Paul's messengers. We have Tychicus and Onesimus. I'll just read again verses 7 to 9. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and he is a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Here, of course, is Paul is in prison, so when he says what is happening here, that's what he's referring to. So Paul tells us three things about Tychicus, a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. And Paul's going to send him to Colossae, but he's not sending him alone. Verse 9, he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. So it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, that Paul would link or pair these two people together, because Onesimus is familiar with the church. He's part of the church at Colossae. And yet when you boil it all down, essentially they're just delivering a letter. You might think, well, that's not much. You know, when we think of receiving a letter, we very rarely, if at all, give a thought to the person who has delivered it. Do we? We don't, do we? We might consider we would consider the person who has sent the letter to be important, significant, and the contents of the letter matter, but not so much the person who delivered it. And yet the letter that they're bringing, it's gold, isn't it? It is of huge significance to the life of the church at Colossae, particularly in the face of false teachers coming in. It is essential that they get this letter, that it is delivered safely. So a lesson I think we could take from this is that in the work of God's kingdom, there are no small parts. You know, when we all play our part, there are no small parts. And I love this quote. It comes from a Scottish pastor back, I think, in the 18th century. What have big and little to do with things that are indispensable? I think that is beautiful. What has big and little to do with things that are indispensable? It's so easy to think that what I contribute within the life of the church isn't that significant. It's only, you know, I didn't do much. This is all I can do. Well, all they did was deliver a letter. That's all they did. And yet, the significance of that for the church then and even today, 2,000 years later. I mean, could Tychicus and Onesimus have written the letter? No, they were not apostles. Could Paul have written the letter and delivered it? No, because he's imprisoned. It required both, didn't it? It required both. And that's how it is in God's church, in God's kingdom. It requires everyone, however big or small we think the part might be. So that's Paul's messengers. Let's think about his co-workers. Verses 10 to 14. Says, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, and that's probably literally in prison with Paul, probably in Rome. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings. as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Okay, so these are the only three Jewish Christians working alongside Paul. And Paul says they've proved to be a comfort to him. How interesting. A comfort. You know, comfort is to console someone, isn't it? When they're disappointed, when they're struggling, when they're finding life difficult, when the going is tough, someone comforts you. Someone lifts you up, someone picks you up when you're feeling down. Someone helps keep you going when you feel like giving up. Someone gives you a fresh perspective. They had proved to be a comfort to Paul. You know, Paul was not immune to disappointment. Paul perhaps wasn't even immune to giving up. He had so many struggles, so many battles, so much he's in prison. You know, life is very hard for Paul. And here are these co-workers who proved to be a comfort to him. Now, we don't know what Paul was struggling with, but if it wasn't for Aristarchus and Mark and Justice, you know, was Paul heading for a deep depression? No, we don't know, but possibly. You know, was there consoling him a lifeline in his faith? Keeping him going, keeping him focused. We can all play our part, can't we, in being a comfort to one another, being sensitive to the needs around us. And someone's struggling, somebody's finding life tough. You know, the comforter, it's a paraclete, it's a Greek word, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter. It's someone who comes alongside, maybe just to listen, to offer support, to be a companion as you go through difficult waters. And then we have Epaphras, another of the co-workers. Let's pick up on him in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. This is a guy who started the church at Colossae, who kind of planted it, who got it going. And Paul says three things about him. He's a man who prays a lot, isn't he? And Paul says his prayer is continuous. He is always praying. He's always thinking about it. He's always got you on his heart, on his mind, and he's always praying. Secondly, that it was difficult for him to be praying. He talks about wrestling in prayer or struggling in prayer. The Greek word apparently is agonia, which we get our English word to agony or to agonize. And his prayers are spiritually focused. He's not just God bless them, God help them. It's spiritually focused, praying that they will stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Well, this is quite a challenge, isn't it? I don't know how you are in your prayer life, or how I am. I can assure you it could be a lot better. It's a challenge, isn't it? Here's someone who prioritized prayer, who believed in prayer. Who believed that, you know, when we pray, that God will answer, God will go to work, God will do something. And I'm particularly challenged by the focus of his prayers. He's praying really for their spiritual welfare, for their spiritual growth, for them to grow in Jesus. It's not, you know, for somebody's broken leg or, no, that's not important, but it's spiritually focused. He really wants them to go on with God, to stand firm, to be strong in all the will of God, all that God's got for you. You know, I want you to press into that. Stay focused in your Christian life. That's what he's praying. And then finally we have Paul's final charge. It comes in verses 14 to 18 to a guy by the name of Archippus. So let's read verse 14. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church and her house. She always deserves a special mention, actually. We know nothing about her whatsoever. Presumably quite a well-to-do lady, in the fact that she's able to host a number of people in her home. So a substantial home, I would imagine. Whether she was married, we don't know. Or widowed, perhaps. No mention of her husband, anyway. Perhaps a single lady. But to host a Christian gathering in your house, that could be quite a dangerous thing to do. That would put you in the spotlight. You know, Paul's in prison for his faith. You know, I think she would be a very courageous lady. Someone totally committed to following Jesus, for sure. Verse 16, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now, I don't know what it was that made Paul think of Archippus. We don't know also what ministry he was involved in. And we also don't know what it was that caused him to kind of stop, to give up, that Paul needs to write this to him. All we know, and I guess we know this from our own experience, don't we? It is easy to start something. Not always so easy to see it through to the end. Is that fair? I think we think of reading a book. How many of us have started to read a book and not finished it? You know, I think I've got a number of those. It is so easy to start something, you know, with enthusiasm, excitement, look at the potential. Come on, everyone, get on board. And we begin with gusto. And you know, we're all in. But this poor gentleman is singled out by Paul. Didn't complete what God had given him to do. And the lesson really is, we can start well, But what really matters is not how we start, it's how we finish. Even think about your own Christian life. You know, I became a Christian when I was in my teens, mid-teens, and I wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. I literally did, and I'd even knock on my neighbor's doors and tell them. Don't do that now. You know, I was keen to be at prayer meetings, prayer gatherings. You know, I would not miss one. You know, something else crops up. What's more important? You know, we start well in our Christian life in excitement, full of joy, full of the wonder of it. Jesus died for me. Wow. You know, let that sink in. But then as the years roll by, is our joy still, is it exuberant? Is our passion still there? Or has it begun to wane? Has the years had that kind of effect upon us? So yeah, the lesson really, isn't it? It's not how we start that is important. It really is how we finish. And the challenge for this poor guy, Archippus, was keep going. Get back at it. Don't give up. Don't stop. No, don't put your foot on the brake. But keep going. In many ways, this kind of these closing verses, it's a bit of a, it's a church, isn't it? People doing different things. Whether it's delivering a letter, whether it's comforting and consoling someone who's finding life difficult, or whether it's just that we need to hear, keep going, keep going. Don't slow down. Keep going at the things that God called you to do. Keep living for Jesus. Don't, you know, keep firm and steadfast in that. And also the challenge of our prayer life, you know. I think that's probably one of the most difficult things in most churches. And for most pastors, you know, we say, come and pray. We meet once a month to pray. And it's always, well, more or less the same people who come and pray. Come on, we need to be praying as a church, don't we? And this is the church. This is you and this is me. We all have a part to play. We all have a part. We're all part of this body, this family that God wants to use to shape us and shape those around us. Father God, thank you for the church. Lord, thank you that it's through the church that your manifold wisdom is shown to the world. Lord, a body united together, though so different, serving in different ways. Lord, we just pray for ourselves. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless us as a family of your people here. Lord, we pray that through us we will be a light to the community around us. And Lord, that you'd help us to grow in our love for you and for each other. Lord, we pray that you would do a deep work amongst us, that you will indeed bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. So bless us, Lord, we pray. be with us throughout the rest of today and all that we do. Give us time to rest. Lord, refresh us. Bless us, we pray, as we offer you our praise and our thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen.